Welcome to episode 380 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm your host and producer, Josh Pollard.
And me, remember me? I'm your host, Richard Gunther. And this is the show where we talk about Microsoft Entertainment technology, including audio, video, gaming, and more across all Windows platforms. Josh, it seems like 3 weeks since we've done this.
Hasn't it only been two?
No, you did it 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
Then neither of us did it last week.
You're right. I was going to say, come on, Richard, it's only been 1 week since they've heard your voice, but I guess that's not true.
Yeah, no, it's been more weeks than that.
All right. Well, I'm definitely glad to have you back. And I'm sure all of our listeners, except for maybe the ones who like the really, really short episodes, are also glad to have you back.
We'll try to make this short.
I think it will be. Partly because we don't have any feedback, people. Come on. You're breaking my heart here. You can send us some at our email address, entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com, or lots of other ways that we'll cover at the end of the show.
And as Josh said last week, that will help us not be feedbackless.
Exactly. Let's get in the news, Richard.
All right, let's start with video like we normally would. And we have two video stories this week. The first is that CBS All Access is hitting the Xbox One.
Wait. What is CBS All Access? Because I think this is a service that most people probably don't even know about.
Well, okay. Maybe that's because who wants to pay $6 a month for stuff you can get over the air?
Oh,
but wait, it's actually a little bit more than that. So CBS has always believed that their content is more valuable and more important and more precious than everybody else that puts their content on Hulu. So they decided we're not playing with Hulu. We're doing our own thing. It's called CBS All Access, and you can pay us half again what you're already paying for Hulu, and it'll be just CBS. Half the price, way less content. Sounds great, right? So it also gives you access to their repository of old content, and it gives you access to, I believe, live streaming content. And this fall, it will give you access and exclusive access, including not available on real TV, over the air, or on cable, the new Star Trek series. So, you know, talk about trying to take one of your most valuable properties and make it breathe new life into your lame streaming offering. That's CBS All Access, and it's available on Apple TV. It's available on your Windows tablets and Windows desktop devices, but it hasn't been available on the Xbox yet. It is now on the Xbox One. And as I understand it, you'll have to sign in whether you're looking at content that's available freely or whether it's part of the paid subscription plan. So this works pretty much just like the application that's on the Apple TV, as opposed to where you can go and look at some content online on their website and other content you have to sign in for.
So this Star Trek show, I'm sure it's going to be popular. People love them some Star Trek. Is it only ever going to be on CBS All Access, or are they saying that it's going to start there, but eventually it's going to hit TV, or what's the deal here? Like, is this the only way to watch the Star Trek show?
Oh, it's far more devious than that. The pilot will air on television, and then it will no longer be available on television. It will only be available online after the pilot. Now, everybody believes that it's an exclusive window. So what that means is that after a period of time, you'll probably be able to get the content through streaming services where you pay for content like Vudu and iTunes and stuff like that. But whether it'll actually ever air on television is anybody's guess.
Okay, so they're going to air the pilot on TV, and at every single commercial break, they're going to be like, hey guys, have you heard about CBS All Access?
Exactly. It'll kind of be like watching Big Brother.
So it's going to be crappy is what you're saying.
Hey now.
All right. So that, I guess it's good news that we have the app, but crappy news overall.
Yeah, I mean, it's good if this is something that interests you. I just have a fundamental problem with paying every single content provider their slice to get their store for their exclusive content. I am sick of this. I'm all about aggregation.
Yeah, I agree.
So speaking of aggregation, one of my favorite services for doing that is PlayOn. And PlayOn is a way of getting all of these services together through a streaming server, basically. And you end up with a DLNA server that your other devices can connect to. And we've talked about this many, many times. I love this service. I think it's fantastic. They continue to innovate. Well, Hulu has shut down their free service. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. But the content is still available on PlayOn if you now look at the new Yahoo View channel. So Yahoo View is Yahoo's new app powered by Hulu. I don't get it. And it's all of the stuff that used to be on Hulu for free, now under the Yahoo name. And it is a new channel available on PlayOn. Now, why does this matter? If the content is the same, why do you care? Well, you might care because if you subscribed to particular shows on Hulu, when the new season starts, those shows are not going to show up on PlayOn anymore if you don't have a paid subscription. In other words, your PlayOn subscriptions to Hulu may no longer go anywhere. They may lead to shows that Hulu no longer offers you because you're not paying. So you may need to change your PlayOn subscriptions to instead look for those shows at the start of the new season on the free Hulu content that's available through Yahoo View. So check into your PlayOn configuration if you use this. See if you have any subscriptions to Hulu content. And if you're not paying for Hulu, make sure that you go find those same shows over on Yahoo and subscribe to them there.
Dude, that's so smart. I never even considered that if you're using PlayOn for recording this stuff, that you might get totally messed up with this Hulu Yahoo View switcheroo. So that's an awesome tip. It also makes me think that while I've been using PlayOn to record some shows, maybe what I should do as we're quickly approaching the fall TV season is actually set up some of these like scheduled series recording things for the shows that we do watch and that we do record with Windows Media Center, because sometimes things happen. You know, I've mentioned previous times here that, you know, we've lost like entire seasons of shows because of my hard drive filling up due to other things. So this would be a nice little backup plan for that, because like they're not as high quality, but it also means that the file sizes are significantly smaller and I could just toss them straight into Plex. So this wouldn't be a bad backup system, and it's pretty cheap.
Exactly. And that's what I do, is I record it and my recording folder is automatically monitored by Plex. So they show up the next day in Plex for me.
Cool. All right. So let's move on to a little bit of audio news. We've got, we've mentioned a lot over the past few episodes, basically since the start of August, that now with the latest update on the Xbox One, one of the big features is, of course, background music support. Well, it started with just the Groove app. Now you've got support for the Pandora app, probably second only to Groove in app that people wanted to have background music support playback the most. Mm-hmm. So not really much else new about the Pandora app on the Xbox One, but that's a pretty big deal there. So the one thing that we should know is the confusing thing here is that there's actually two Pandora apps in the store now. At least I assume they're both still in the store. If you installed Pandora on your Xbox One like many, many, many months ago, that app isn't going to support background music. You have to go get the new Pandora UWP app. That's the one. that supports background music, and then you can just get rid of the old one.
So it's not an update to the old one?
No, they released a whole new app, which is kind of annoying.
I wonder if that's going to be the case for all UWP apps.
I don't think so, because I thought they had released a new UWP of the Netflix app, and, well, I guess I'm not sure about Plex. No, not Plex. They haven't been updated yet, but I don't think that's the case, but maybe I'm wrong. I'm hoping I'm not wrong, because that's going to get super annoying.
Yeah, I hope it's not a requirement, because that is a big pain if you have to go seek out the latest version of these every time one is released. How would you even know? Maybe they would have some way of notifying you in the old app, but I mean, theoretically, they'd probably even have to update that to be able to do that. So, yeah, I hope this is just seamless for most apps and isn't something you have to go actively seeking. Also, because I hate the new store layout.
So you're not one of the people who thinks it's getting better?
I don't think it's getting better.
That's unfortunate. All right. Well, Richard, we had teased that there was a Phonos universal preview app. And I don't have Sonos, but you do. Have you gotten a chance to check this out in your house?
I have. You gave me homework, and I wasn't even on the show, and you gave me homework.
That's what you get for not being here.
Yeah, I did install it, and it is a preview app. Phonos, as many people know, is the app that allows you to listen to Sonos, or I should say to control your Sonos system from your Windows devices. It exists on Windows Phone. I'm pretty sure there's a version. I know there's a version, actually, for Windows Tablet. So it's the UWP. And now that UWP also is working on Xbox One. I would wait. And to the Phonos developer, I love your products. Please keep working. This needs a lot of work. It needs layout work. It uses a virtual mouse. Oh. It doesn't actually use D-pad controls. You have to use a mouse with your controller to hover over and select things in the interface. They need to rethink the design to work better with a D-pad controller, because this just is not going to cut it.
Yeah, that's... So what this sounds like to me is he took his UWP and said, all right, deploy this to my Xbox. Hey, it works. Ship it.
And you know what? If that gives him an opportunity to get feedback and find out what works and what doesn't work, I am okay with that. He's branding this clearly as a preview. I say he. We have no idea who the developer is. I hope the team behind this takes the time to really think about how to optimize it for the 10-foot experience, because they need up, down, back, all that sort of stuff. They need the standard controls that you would have on a 10-foot interface. Using a mouse on this is just, and it's not a mouse. It's a, you know, use your stick to locate the fake mouse thing over things.
Right. It's just way like too using complicated. Edge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is not good. In most scenarios, using that virtual mouse cursor thingy is not even close to ideal. So
exactly.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like it's good to see that he's got it out there. That team has got it out there and that they're working on it. And hopefully they're cranking away at making this a great app, because it is something that people really want. Another app that people really want is Spotify. And we discussed a couple months ago about a UWP called Spotacast that worked on Windows PCs and stuff. I saw on Reddit that developer is looking to release that to the Xbox's UWP. Again, that developer is going to need to do some work to make this work well. Like, you can take UWPs and you can just push them out to the Xbox One, but if you don't do at least a little bit of work, the user experience is not going to be great, as you've obviously already discovered there. So hopefully both of these development teams will get us some audio solutions that we really, really like. Man, do I want Spotify on my Xbox.
Yeah, me too. Hey, two follow-up points on this. One is that today, the day that we're recording, Sonos actually announced a whole bunch of stuff, all focused around their opening up their platform with an actual API for preferred integration partners and for developers. So I have a feeling that we will see much better application interfaces that enable Sonos control from a whole bunch of devices. And that very well could include things like the Xbox. So there's a lot of opportunity for cool new stuff there. The other thing that I want to point out is that you and I, Josh, know firsthand, you know the pain way more than I do, but we know firsthand that until very recently, and probably not even today to our satisfaction, the tools and information available to developers to specifically target the Xbox as a platform have been sparse.
Yeah, because basically Microsoft's message to developers has been, it's just a UWP platform. Your UWPs will work. And they do have some guidance. And just today, they had a big event on development for the Xbox One. And I watched it. I watched all of it. I took half a day off to watch this thing. And I had previously read through all of the documentation that they had provided before. And I didn't learn much new today. So it's still not dramatically better, but it's getting there. They're starting to release more code samples. I think if you're a developer and you want one big piece of advice, and maybe you've looked at some of the stuff that's already out there, from today's event that was on Channel 9, it's very easy to find. Just look for Xbox UWP development on Channel 9. There was a session specifically about designing for the Xbox One that maybe isn't going to be the most fun to a super technical programmer person, but there's a lot of really important tips in there that you need to be thinking about.
But please watch it anyway.
Right. Yeah, it'll help you out a lot, and it'll make your apps far more usable on a TV. All right. I don't know how we got on that rant, but let's move on to some gaming news. First off, and this is, I almost put this in the video news too, although I guess it would have made sense. The first story in our video section involved an Xbox One. So one of the cool things that I love about the Xbox One, and lots of people love about it, is that it has an HDMI input that allows you to pass through video so that you could take your cable box or, you know, something like that, maybe a different Blu-ray player, which that wouldn't make a lot of sense, but, or maybe a streaming stick, plug it into your Xbox and then run one cable from your Xbox to your TV and be able to watch both things without having to switch your TV's input. It's a cool feature. Some people use it a lot, like I do with Media Center. Some people don't, but it's nice to have, and it's been there since the Xbox One launched. Earlier this month, the Xbox One S launched. Of course, one of the biggest features of the Xbox One S is it supports 4K video. Well, one thing that I hadn't thought about, especially since I don't have a 4K TV, so maybe I just haven't been paying the most attention to this, but it still has an HDMI input on it. Does it support 4K video to be passed through? You would think that it would, but unfortunately, it turns out it doesn't. There were some people who tested this out and said that it didn't. So then people actually started reaching out to Microsoft to get an official comment. WinBeta did, and they heard back. I'll just quote what Microsoft responded with. They said, "The Xbox One S does not currently support 4K pass-through via HDMI in. We will continue to explore making the changes needed for the hardware to support pass-through as 4K broadcast become more widespread." It's kind of a weird answer to me.
It is a weird answer.
Like, what do you mean as it becomes more widespread? Like, it's obviously widespread enough that you made a new hardware device to support the standard.
Well, no. I think we need to be clear about something. I think people have come up with a clever, hacky way of using their streaming devices through the pass-through and getting everything to show up through their Xbox One. However, I believe that Microsoft's intent in that pass-through was to provide the ability for you to watch TV from your cable provider to then be integrated into the One Guide and into your overall Xbox experience. As of today, as far as I'm aware, the only way you can actually get 4K broadcasts is through satellite providers. And so the availability of broadcasts, if you will, stuff that's in linear content, is very limited.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good point.
Now, I say that as if I don't think this is a big deal. Meanwhile, the statement that says the changes needed for the hardware to support pass-through concerns me, because that almost suggests that the current version of the hardware is incapable of supporting 4K pass-through, that it's not a firmware thing.
Mm, that would be bad. That would be very bad. To the point where it could be that while the HDMI output is HDMI 2 and HDCP 2.2 or whatever the numbers are compliant, then maybe the input is not. And right. Then you would just have no hope of this working. I'm going to kind of give them the benefit of the doubt and say that and guess that the hardware can do it, that they just haven't enabled it. I think that this was probably just an oddly worded statement from Microsoft. Microsoft is known to not be the most clear when they're trying to clear things up.
No, really?
So that's what I'm going to hope for all of our Xbox One S 4K loving fans out there. And if not, then here's hoping that it at least maybe the Scorpio will do this. But, you know, as I was thinking more about this story tonight, I thought, you know, what are the chances that the Scorpio doesn't even have HDMI input? And what if they just decide, no one's really using this feature, especially not the way that we envisioned them to be using it. Let's just can it.
And that kind of follows some discussion that you had with yourself last week, where you were contemplating that maybe they might just eliminate some of the tuner and TV capabilities in this platform because they don't seem to be focusing on that stuff anymore.
Right. Yeah, that would really go along with my earlier thoughts. Thank you for pointing my thoughts out to me, Richard. All right. So because this section of the show is titled Gaming in our notes and not Xbox, that's how this story still makes sense here, Richard. I'm sure you're looking at the story and thinking, how the heck does this story make sense on this show? This is Microsoft Entertainment Technology. Well, we do talk a little bit about PC gaming, and this is kind of an important story for console gamers and PC gamers alike. Sony PlayStation has a service called PlayStation Now. Now, it's about the least descriptive you could possibly be for a service, which Sony is really fantastic at doing. You probably don't know what this does. It is a video game streaming service. So it's sort of like Netflix for video games, and it's just PlayStation games. And we're basically talking PlayStation 3 games. Like, you're not going to get this and play, you know, the latest PlayStation 4 games. It doesn't do that. The news here is that it's now available on PCs. This has been a service that's been available on PlayStation 4. So if you had a PlayStation 4, instead of them offering you backwards compatibility, instead they gave you a service that you could pay $20 a month for and stream from their library of games. And their library of games that they currently support is, you know, I didn't count it. I didn't see a number. I looked at the whole list. It's got to be 75-ish games. So it's not a small library by any means. And there's some pretty big titles in there. I saw Heavy Rain. most of the God of War games, Eco, The Last of Us. You know, there's the Uncharted games are all in there. There's lots of titles in here to play. And the reason that I think this matters is you might only have an Xbox in your house. You might only have ever had Xbox consoles in your house. I never had a PlayStation 3, and I don't have a PlayStation 4, but there's some good games in this list that I would like to play. And now you do have an option of doing this. Now, there's one other kind of bummer to this. If you're an Xbox gamer and a PC gamer, you probably have an Xbox One controller that you're using to play all of these games on your PC with. Well, that's not going to cut it. These are PlayStation games. So if you want to play PlayStation Now games on your PC, you're going to need a PlayStation DualShock 4 controller. This is the controller for the PlayStation 4. And you're either going to need to wire it up with a micro USB cable or buy their wireless controller dongle. I don't understand why you need that thing. Their controllers have Bluetooth, but you do. So there's that. You're going to have to buy yourself a $50-ish dollar controller and either wire it or buy another adapter to use this. And frankly, I don't like the PlayStation controller compared to the Xbox controller. So that kind of stinks a lot. The other big thing here is I think $20 a month seems a little pricey for this. I kind of wish they had different options for how to pay for this. But I suppose if it was April or May and I didn't have anything else to play and really wanted to check out Heavy Rain for the first time or, you know, something like that, then maybe I'd want to check this out. But man, the cost of a controller plus the subscription, that's kind of a big cost of entry there.
It is, but if it's games that you otherwise don't have access to and you've always wanted, like you said, I think this is a great option. You know, normally I would probably be saying, why are we talking about this here? Why isn't this industry news? And the reason this isn't industry news is because this is now a gaming option for you on your Windows PC. And we're not saying you have to have like the latest and greatest Windows PC available. This will run on Windows 7, 8, 1, or 10, and all you need is a 2 gigahertz Core i3 to be able to use this stuff. That's awesome.
Right. Yeah, you don't need a big gaming rig because you're just streaming it. You know, all of the work is being done on their server somewhere. So yeah, that's a really important thing to point out. You don't need a GeForce 1080 or whatever to play these games on your PC. You could probably play this on, you know, if you have a Surface device, it'd probably play this just fine. I'm sure it would.
Not my device, but.
Well, you don't have a Surface.
Oh, that's true. I have an HP Stream. Not good for streaming, ironically.
Yeah, probably not. So if you want to check that out, like I said, it's $20 a month. You will need a PlayStation 4 controller. If you already have the controller or can borrow it from a friend and just want to check this out, they do have a 7-day free trial. We'll, of course, have a link to the service in the show notes. All right, so that's it for the PlayStation news. Let's move on to the rest of the Xbox news. We have new deals with gold, and this week, they're good. They're really good. So for starters, you've got some Forza Horizon 2 DLC. There's a Porsche expansion pack and the Storm Island expansion pack. Those are both $20 expansions because they're really big. They're on sale for $5. So if you have Forza Horizon 2 and didn't already have that downloadable content, go and get it. It's $5 each. That ought to hold you over, you know, for the next 3.5-4 weeks until Forza Horizon 3 comes out. If you don't have Forza 6, you can buy that for $30 digitally now. And if you don't have Gears of War Ultimate, you can now get that for $10.
That's crazy.
So yeah, there's a lot of really, really great deals here. There's a bunch of sales on Call of Duty content because it's also an Activision publisher sale. There's a lot of good stuff. It's definitely worth going and checking out what's available in Deals with Gold this week. Now, we're also on the cusp, and if you're not listening live, It's already September for you, which means new content for Games with Gold. So free games, yay. On the Xbox One side, we have a brand new game launching for free. It's called Earthlock. It's kind of a more traditional turn-based role-playing game. This looks really interesting to me. It's a game that I'd never even heard of until I saw that it was going to be a Games with Gold game. But it actually looks really cool. You know, this is going to be a $30 game once it's no longer Games with Gold. So get this if you're into role-playing games.
Which platform?
So this is on Xbox One.
Okay.
Brand new. It's going to be on Xbox One and PC, but you get it for free on Xbox One for the entire month of September. Also on Xbox One, Assassin's Creed Chronicles China. This is the Chronicles games are not like full blown Assassin's Creed games. These are smaller. They're normally $10. This one is also going to be free, and it's will be available September 16th through October 15th. That's the one in that stupid window that
one
I
of the
hate.
Crazy ones. So we'll remind yep. you again later.
Exactly. On the 360 side, you get the original Forza Horizon for the first half of the month. Great game. Got the series rolling. And then the second half of the month, you get... That wasn't supposed to be a pun. I see you smiling at me. the second half of the month is Mirror's Edge, another fantastic game. So on the 360 side, you can't complain at all about what you're getting for free here. And, of course, backwards compatible for play on your Xbox One. And I'm actually really excited about both of these Xbox One games. So September looks great to me for free games, for sure.
Yeah, and you know, I'm excited about the Forza Horizon game because you talk about it all the time. And so I may have to at least peek at that when that's available. And plus, I'm really looking forward to having something other than WWE available.
You didn't want to get your wrestling on?
No, that was probably the first gold game that I have not downloaded in, well, the last year.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I didn't download it either. Yeah, you will need to check out Forza Horizon. That game is, it's so relaxing. Like, if you enjoy just driving cars, like in real life, if you love going for a cruise and listening to good music, you will love Forza Horizon. It's so relaxing. It's cool. So fun. Yes. All right, let's move on to some mobile news. The Windows Superphone that we've been talking about for months and months and months. It's almost here, Richard.
Is this the long-awaited Microsoft flagship phone?
Yeah, the Surface Phone. No, it's not that. Sorry.
Oh.
It is the HP Elite X3.
Oh, man. I just drool every time I hear that. And then I saw the price tag.
Well, I don't think the price tag is ridiculous for what it is. I mean, flagship phones cost $1 billion nowadays. You know, if you're how much is a 64 gig iPhone 6S?
I think, I'm not sure, but I think that ends up usually being about $700.
No way is that $700. No way is that $700. I believe the base model iPhone starts at $650.
Okay.
You go and I'll keep talking about this. So there's, you know, we don't need to go through all of the specs. You know, it's almost a 6-inch phone. It's got a quad HD display. It's got a Snapdragon 820. So it's got a fantastic processor, awesome camera, good speakers, all that stuff. 64 gigs of storage. It's an $800 phone. That's what it is. I mean, the Samsung Galaxy S7, I think, was $750 when it came out. I don't know what the new Note 17 or whatever version number the Galaxy Note is on now. I don't know how much that cost. I'm sure it's right in this price range also. The thing that I think is kind of interesting here is that when HP first announced this phone, they had basically said, this is for businesses and we're not really planning to sell this to the general public. And I figured part of that was, well, the general public isn't buying Windows phones, so why would we do that? But if you really wanted this phone, you are actually going to be able to buy it. From at least one source, the Microsoft store. You can pre-order it from there right now. Like I said, $4,799, or you can get the dock that goes with it, the Continuum dock, which makes it $8.99, and it starts shipping September 12th.
So I'm a little bit confused about something here. The $7.99 price says that it includes the HP Elite X3 desk dock. What is that?
I guess I was wrong. I thought you had to pay extra for the dock. So the dock is the Continuum dock. So you plug a monitor into that dock, and then you probably use Bluetooth for the keyboard and mouse, and you use this as a Continuum desktop, basically.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, I checked the pricing on the iPhone, and the iPhone 6S 64 gig is a $749 purchase. So
really?
It's a little bit cheaper than this, but this does come with a dock. So that's awesome. And of course, you have that booming B&O sound coming out of that tiny little speaker. So that'll be a nice add-on too for this business phone. I don't get the pricing. I really don't.
Okay.
I think in the position that Windows Phone is in the market right now, any manufacturer of Windows phones, be it Microsoft or HP or anyone else, has to differentiate in value somehow, because many of these features, other than this, oh yeah, and it's also your PC, but it's not really a PC capability, are available through other platforms. And I'm just not convinced that there's enough here to draw business decision makers to spend the same amount of money that they might spend on a similar product from another platform.
I completely agree. Now, just to do a little bit more price comparison here, you looked at the iPhone 6S. We really should be comparing it to the 6S Plus, because it is a big phone. The 6S Plus 64 gig is $850. And Anthony in the chat is telling us the 64 gig Note 7 is $865. So the pricing, it is actually less. And you're also getting the Continuum dock, which is, maybe that's a $50-ish device. So
yeah,
it's still a lot of friggin' money. And it's way more money than I would spend on I wouldn't spend any money on a Windows phone right now. But yeah, I mean, I remember last year when the 950 came out, and that was $650, I think. That seemed like a lot back then to pay for what was a top-of-the-line Windows phone. Like you said, because it's a Windows phone. So
right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I just think they're coming in as the underdog, and I think this is an awesome device, and I want it to succeed. I don't see how it will at this price.
Nope. I agree. Like it might work in some enterprises where the cost of these devices doesn't matter as much, and maybe they can get a cheaper price if they buy a bunch of them. But yeah, in terms of like wide scale success, I don't see this happening.
This may work in some enterprises where their HP rep has authority to throw in a bunch of these with their server orders.
There you go. Yeah.
I'm not kidding. I mean, that very well may be how they try to get organizations onto this. HP has a huge enterprise market. And if they're selling these as enterprise phones, they potentially have the ear of the decision makers on these. And they could throw a couple at the people making those decisions and try and get them interested.
Yep, absolutely. All right. If you're going mobile, you might be using something a little bit bigger than a phone. How about a Surface? Maybe a Surface Pro 3. Which unfortunately hasn't actually been all that mobile lately, because they've been having some pretty serious battery issues. Like,
well, it's mobile. It's a very good mobile bag warmer, from what I understand.
Well, it's not a good bag warmer if it doesn't power on at all, which
for a lot of people,
the battery situation, the problem here being that for a lot of Surface Pro 3s, the battery capacity was being reported as less and less and less every single day. Now, that's true for most batteries, but like significantly so. Like
not noticeably less, right?
Like maybe you once had 5 hours of battery life. Now you've got 20 minutes of battery life. And to some people, it made it all the way to the point where it wouldn't work unless it was plugged in, which actually I hadn't thought about this until I saw someone else mention it on Twitter. That's a serious problem if you're trying to take one of these through TSA on a flight, because they expect your devices to power on. So
yeah,
I'm not sure what people were doing there. Microsoft, I think it was almost a month ago, finally made a comment saying, we think we can fix this with a firmware update, which seemed kind of weird, but a lot of people were hopeful that, okay, cool, do it and give us the fix now because our batteries are dying very, very quickly. And they didn't say anything for weeks. And then finally, in the last week, they did release a new firmware update for the Surface Pro 3. And apparently, it does fix the problem. I don't have a Surface Pro 3, so I can't confirm. But lots of other Surface Pro 3 owners are confirming, yes, it does fix this problem. It doesn't fix it immediately because basically they're saying you do have to go through a few charge and discharge cycles for it to kind of right itself completely, but it will be better and better. And then eventually over a few cycles, it'll be back to where it should be. So I'm really glad that they were able to fix this. I'm really glad that they were able to fix this with software, but there were a lot of people that like, they took their Surface into the Microsoft store and the Microsoft store said, well, it's busted and it's out of warranty. So how about you give us $450 and we'll put a new battery in it for you?
Yeah, this is a mess. And there have been battery problems with this device pretty much since the day it came out. I am appalled that it took them this long to acknowledge and address this problem. The gap between when they said, yeah, we're on it, and something happening is not that surprising. Because you know what? When you have a small group of people, and yes, Microsoft is huge, but not the entire company is working on Surface. And So when you have a team of people working on a product, they can only accomplish so much in a period of time. And if it involves battery charge and recharge cycles, it's going to take some time to test and make sure that you got it right. Well, so they got it out, but why did it take so long to address it, to admit it? This is crazy. The Surface Pro 4 is out. I mean, this is just crazy.
Right. Well, and to have so little communication, like, okay, it took you a few weeks to even acknowledge that, oh yeah, there is something wrong here, and we think we can fix it with software, but then nothing. Like, they weren't communicating with Surface support. They weren't communicating with Microsoft stores to say, you know, if people come in with this problem, don't say it's going to be a $450 repair. Like, communicate effectively with your customers and tell them that, give them constant updates and don't force them down these horrible paths that they were forced down if people were depending on Surface Pro 3s. Because it's not like a Surface Pro 3 is a $200 computer. Most of these people paid $1,000 or more for these Surface devices. They expect it to work as their primary laptop. And when the battery doesn't work at all anymore, and it's a year and a half old, that's a serious problem that needs better communication than what Microsoft gave them.
And it's a tablet, and it needed to be plugged in. I mean, come
right.
on. Yeah. Well, you know, this reminds me of a similar situation where Microsoft had some major changes going on or major problems going on and just ignored it and ignored it and ignored it and eventually fixed it without really talking about it ever, which was the data cutover for Media Center. You know, this is a habit with them. They do this all the time. This is the way they operate.
Yeah, unfortunately. All right, Richard, any other Microsoft news here we want to cover? I think at the very least, we probably want to cover the fact that there are more Surface devices coming, right?
There are. And, you know, one of the things that I think is really cool, even though I don't have one, is the Surface Book. Oh, Josh, sidebar. The AMOLED version of the Lenovo convertible computer that I saw at CES is finally out. I'm drooling. I am so drooling. Anyway, Microsoft has their own convertible, and it is called the Surface Book. And there have been teases on Instagram that there's a new Surface Book 2 coming out with a redesigned hinge so that, hey, here's a great idea. Your laptop can actually fold flat.
What?
I love this idea.
Okay. But we don't actually think this is coming out until like next year, right?
Oh, yeah. No, there's no chance we're seeing this year. But whether this is Microsoft or whether, you know, who knows? Who knows if this is, you know, there's some rogue stuff going on. I don't know. I don't know the intent of this stuff being out there. But I love that we're looking at a new generation of this because this is a cool device. It had some problems when it came out, but they've addressed most of those. And I would love to see this evolve and for Microsoft to continue to improve on this. And if they can solve, hey, again, battery problems and heating problems and the weird hinge, I think this would ultimately be like an amazing device. So I'm looking forward to seeing this.
Yep, me too. All right, one more piece of Microsoft news. And that is, you know, we talked a lot earlier about UWP app, that's Universal Windows Platform apps, running on the Xbox One. If you're a developer, you can now submit your apps to the Xbox Store through the Microsoft Dev Center. They've made a whole bunch of other changes, but that's a big one. That's an important one. If you're an app developer, that's all true. If you are a game developer, that is not true. They've been hammering on this, but I want to make sure everybody knows this. If you're a developer and you're making games, you still can't submit them just yet. If you're a game developer, they want you to go through the ID at Xbox program. There's lots of benefits to going through that. I'm sure it'll be a slower process, but there will be benefits. You know, better support from Microsoft, probably better placement within the store, better promotion from Microsoft. You're going to have to go through the ID at Xbox program. It's all available at the Windows Dev Center website, dev.windows.com. Go and check that out. You're not going to be able to just take your Windows mobile game and throw it on the Xbox. You're going to have to go through the ID at Xbox program if you want to do that. I think that's good news for everybody. It's good news for developers because they'll get better support. It's good news for gamers because we won't just see an onslaught of terrible games filling the Xbox store. We might get an onslaught of terrible apps, but that's probably not as big of a deal. All right, Richard, you've been gone for a while.
3 weeks.
I bet you've had a lot going on in your entertainment center.
I have actually had stuff going on in my entertainment center. Part of it is trying new things and getting back at habits that I've fallen out of. So the first thing is that I have been trying to make an active effort in updating my Plex and my movies libraries. I kind of fell off the wagon for a while, and I go in these spurts. Like, I'm like, oh, okay, I'll get a bunch of things copied, and then something happens, and it's usually a technical glitch somewhere that I don't have time to deal with. The last one was, oh, right, my Drobo died.
Richard, that was like late winter?
It was, and it didn't get fixed until, 3 months ago. But anyway, I had stalled on getting my library updated. So I'm back to that. I'm back at doing that. And I'm trying to do this now side by side. I have more things in my movies than in Plex. So my first step is get everything in my movies and in Plex parallel. Why? So that any movie that we own is available on any device in the house.
Makes sense.
And I think that my movies is still a great product and I continue to use it. And in fact, I use its disc converter as a way of getting my MP4s and MKVs onto the server. So I rely on it heavily for this process to make it a lot easier than having to load Handbrake or something else to do this. Now, I was getting all kinds of problems when I started doing this again, and I couldn't understand why. And so that stalled me too. Well, it turns out that one of the things that My Movies is really good at is keeping any DVD up to date so that you always have the latest and greatest version of any DVD running to do your conversion for you Well, guess what? Any DVD kind of changed hands.
Right.
And if you didn't buy a license again, then you couldn't use the new version. So the new version was quietly installed on my server and doing absolutely nothing because I'm not allowed to use it.
Whoops. Richard, we talked about this on the show multiple times.
We did, but we didn't talk about the impact that it might have on a My Movies server. So guess what? Now we know. And what I ended up doing was reverting to an older version that I have. So I reverted to 7.6. I think that was the latest old version that I had. And I'm back at the conversion. Now, what that means is that I am not going to have the profiles that I need to be able to convert new content. And when it gets to the point that all I have left is my newer discs, I'm going to have to make a very hard decision. Do I want to pay 129 euros,
Whoa.
Which is a whole lot of dollars,
yeah, it is,
to actually get the new NEDVD lifetime license? And I still haven't decided, frankly.
Wasn't there a big discount a while ago that we had talked about for existing NEDVD customers that you could have taken advantage of?
Yeah, but, you know, out of principle, I didn't want to have to pay for it again.
I understand.
I stand by those principles, no matter how stupid they are. All right. So another thing that I've been doing is running out of space on my Media Center's DVR drive. So I recently copied all of that content to a new, larger, I know this is so sad, 5 terabyte drive.
Wow.
From a 3 terabyte, which was full.
Jeez.
And remember, I offload stuff all the time, too. I just got tired of offloading all the time. So I have to swap that into my case that I have on the attached drive. And then I'll have my new larger storage ready for the fall season. And that is why y'all should be thinking about this. Because if you record a bunch of stuff and you want to take a look at the new shows coming up, you may want to see how much storage you have. And if you don't have a lot, now's a good time to upgrade.
Absolutely.
All right. So I've been watching lots of TV. Big Brother, as usual. I've been keeping up with Justified to the extent that I've been keeping up with my podcasts, and I am weeks behind. So I'm, you know, early in season 3 on that. And when I see keeping up, it's because I'm kind of watching those episodes as Tom and Brian talk about them on Spoiler in Time, the kind of offshoot of Cord Killers. I have been watching Mr. Robot, and I spent some time while I was traveling catching up on those. I hate the long episodes. I hate an episode that is like an hour and a half long because it takes more time and I have to get through the mental barrier of, oh, but this is like watching 2 shows and I don't have that kind of investment right now. I can't sit down for that. So I'd been putting it off and I finally watched them. And, you know, this season is good. It's weird, but it's good. I'm enjoying it. I am through the first, I think, 4 episodes, with the first 3 being much longer than usual.
Oh, then you're not even to the weird part.
Yeah, I'm sure. I think I'm 3 behind right now. So there's that. I finished Eureka. Ah, Eureka. I am so happy to be finished this show. Now, I don't mean I'm happy that it's over. I have just been watching this, and our friend of the show, Dan Skaggs, can probably back me up on this for like 5 years now. I think it might even be longer. So it may have taken me longer to get through the episodes of the show than it actually aired. So I keep going away and coming back, and I said, all right, I just have to finish this. And it was a fun show. I really enjoyed it. I also finished The People versus O.J. Simpson. I mentioned a while ago that I was watching that because it was something that Real Crime Profiles, a podcast that I listened to, was talking about week by week. And the facts behind how that case was handled are kind of like some of the other crime expose shows that have been on the internet or on TV, just mind-boggling. How did so much get messed up on this one case? It's just insanity. 2 things finished. I had to start something new, right? everybody's been talking about Stranger Things. And I've been, yeah, new Netflix series. I don't have time for it. Then I'm like, you know what? I'll bet this is something that Edward and I could watch together, that we would both like sitting down to watch this. And we are both totally sucked into it.
This is kind of scary though, right? Like this
it
is a
horror. It is kind of scary. Show? It is kind of like Goonies.
Huh.
In that
right.
There's like an adventure that these kids are trying to solve this mystery, and what's behind the mystery is kind of weird and scary. We don't know if it's evil or if it's just kind of a misunderstanding or whatever, but it's, I think, so well done, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I think the acting in it is fantastic.
So it's yet another show that I want to watch that Jen won't watch with me.
Oh, she does not like watching scary things?
No, she doesn't do scary.
Ah, okay. All right. Good to know. I should stash that away somewhere. All right. So the Olympics were on, and of course, we had them on in the background all the time. And I swear all I remember seeing is running and swimming. I know that more happens in the Olympics, and why I didn't see more than running and swimming, I just don't understand. Hawaii Five-0, one of those shows that I kind of let go during the season and then catch up afterward. I've been watching that, and I always enjoy that show. I got back to watching Weeds. I'm in season 3 right now. And another favorite over at Cord Killers, they talk about this animated series called Rick and Morty, and they talk about it all the time. So I decided to watch the pilot. And oh my God, is that weird? I have no way to describe it other than weird. And I don't know if I'll watch any more of it. But, you know, I had to give the pilot a try.
Sure. Why not?
So that's what I've been doing in my entertainment center.
All right. Well, mine is, as usual, significantly less than yours. In terms of television or video programming, just Mr. Robot for me. I got a little bit behind. Just last night, I finally got to sit down and noticed I was 3 episodes behind. I got through 2 and really wanted to watch the last one, but it was already 11:30 and I couldn't. So maybe when we're finished here tonight, I can watch that so that, you know, I'll be caught up for the next one to come out tomorrow that I won't
all
get to
caught
watch
up. Wow.
Until the weekend, or maybe after the following one comes out. I don't know. It's great. Keep watching Mr. Robot. Speaking of Mr. Robot, I know you're not a big gamer and not even really a big mobile gamer person, but have you checked out the new Mr. Robot mobile game?
I have not.
Do you know about it?
I do not.
It's supposed to be kind of interesting in that, like, I also haven't checked it out yet, but it's, you're kind of like, the interface for the game is mostly, it seems like, texting back and forth with characters from the show, and then maybe doing some hacking stuff too. I'm not entirely sure. And like, instead of just like, you know, you might sit down to play some you wouldn't sit down to play Pokemon or Angry Birds or whatever. Like, you don't just choose when to play this, because it's also like texting with your friends. So you might just get a text message from Darlene at some point during the day from the game. And then you respond to it as you would. Like, it sounds really interesting, but I haven't read any reviews on it yet. And I should check that out soon, because I love the show.
Yeah. I don't know that that's something that I would do, but if you try it out, I want to hear about it.
Okay. Maybe for next week then. All right. And then in terms of gaming, been spending some time with some NHL 16, because it's a great way to kill some time. And I love hockey. And this past weekend was the Titanfall 2 pre-alpha tech test. And it actually was the past 2 weekends. And yeah, pre-alpha was definitely the right description for what this was, especially the first weekend. I really enjoyed the first Titanfall. Not so much the new Titanfall. Like, I was thinking that this fall, you know, there's 3 big shooters coming out this fall. Titanfall 2, Battlefield 1, Call of Duty, Infinite Warfare. And I thought, you know, I'm typically a Call of Duty guy, but maybe I'll end up getting Titanfall 2 because the first one was really good. Some of my friends really like Titanfall. Yeah, none of us were impressed with Titanfall 2. Most of the things that we loved about the first one, they changed, and not for the better. So, yeah, probably not going to be getting Titanfall 2 this weekend. I guess that's the downside to running a pre-alpha test when your game isn't as good. So that stinks. This coming weekend, actually starting tomorrow, is the Battlefield 1 beta. So I'm going to be checking that out. You know, maybe I'll switch to Battlefield this year. Don't know. Going to be checking that out. According to Reddit, it already sounds like it's probably better than Titanfall 2, at least. So it's got that going for it. And that's pretty much it for me. I want to be getting back into Homeland too. I missed that show. And I'm still so far behind. I'm like, I don't know, episode 3 of season 3 or something like that. I've got a lot of catching up to do on Homeland. So
now, how are you watching that? Do you have discs, or did you decide to actually get that through Amazon? Was it Amazon that had it?
Yes, who
had it?
It's Showtime Anytime through Amazon.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I had done season 1, I think, on disc. And I think so, yeah. And maybe 1 and 2, I don't know. But yeah, now I'm doing this all streaming. So
cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, that wraps our news and our updates from our entertainment center this week. Before we go, I'm going to make a plea to our audience again. We talked about this in our last episode that I was on 3 weeks ago, and that's that I have 2 sessions that are candidates for next year's South by Southwest. And if you have an opportunity when you're hearing this, and that means you're listening to it on Thursday or Friday, if you have the opportunity, please take about 5 minutes out of your day to go to the South by Southwest panel picker. And if you're interested in these topics, or if you think other people would be, because you're not going to South by Southwest, doesn't matter. You can still vote. You can inflict your impressions on what should be at the conference on actual conference attendees. And I think these sessions could be there. The first is a session I proposed called Don't Brick My Fridge. And it's about how service-dependent products can potentially be a liability both for companies and for consumers. So what can you do to protect yourself as a manufacturer and as a consumer? And the second is a session that is being held by GridConnect, the makers of the ConnectSense smart plug. And that is a session called Meet the Smart Home, What the Jetsons Got Wrong, evaluating what the reality of the smart future looks like compared to what was predicted, I don't even know, what was that, 40, 50 years ago? I don't even know. Anyway, some crazy ideas back on what the Jetsons thought that we should be doing compared to how the smart home is actually evolving. That's a co-hosted session with me and Adam Justice, one of the co-founders of GridConnect.
Okay, so just so everybody knows, you do have to create an account at the South by Southwest panel picker.
Yeah, so that's a really good point, right? If you're going to look at these and you try to click the vote thing, or if you try to get in, it's going to tell you you have to log in and you have to create an account. Now, here's the beauty of it. If you already went to South by Southwest in the last couple of years, or if you already have an account, then you can get right in. If you haven't gone and you don't plan on going, you can still create an account. Doesn't register you for anything except the ability to pick panels. And you can do that. And there are a lot of other great panels out there of interest. And when you look at them, who knows? You may actually want to go to South by Southwest.
Yeah. I would want to go to see these two panels for sure. And to hang out with you and all of our other friends that are going to be there. That would be awesome. So it's going to take you just a couple of minutes. You know what? I just did this. I'm a terrible friend. I didn't do this the first time that you said to do this. I did the whole thing, including creating an account while Richard was telling you about it. Voted for both of them. You can do it that quickly.
See how easy that is?
But don't wait, because there isn't much time left. So help Richard out and go and do this, please.
Cool. And hey, thanks, Josh.
My pleasure. Wish I could be there to hear him when you win or whatever. So, all right. So if you want to get a hold of us, there's a bunch of ways you can do that. We're on Twitter. Richard is at Richard Gunther. I'm at Josh Pollard. The website is at Digi Media Zone, D-I-G-I Media Zone. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/thedmz. We're also on Google Plus, which I've actually been seeing the post in that community more now that I have an Android phone. And there's been some good ones lately.
Yeah, there has. And you even mentioned this last week, too. There's been a lot of activity recently. And I wanted to point out a post from listener and reader Joe Gaz, who talks about MCE Buddy and how he's using MCE Buddy to convert content from Media Center, TiVo, and the HD Home Run DVR so that he can take it on the road with him while he's traveling. The product is still actively supported, and he has a video on how he's using it. So check that out if you get a chance. We'll have a link in the show notes.
Yep. You can also, of course, shoot us a message at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com or just use the contact form on the website. You'll obviously like listening to podcasts. We've got another one for you to listen to. It's Richard's other show. It's called Home On, covering home automation and control news. Richard, what's going on with Home On?
And I know, I hear you. I hear you. You're all saying it. Liars, there's not a new episode. And there isn't. We're taking a couple weeks off during the summer. But first of all, I wanted to thank everybody who participated in and enjoyed the iDevices giveaway. For those who didn't know, there was an iDevices giveaway where iDevices offered their Switch product available for free to people who were listening to the show. And they gave 100 of those away. And we've already received tweets from people who have received the product by going to the address that we mentioned in the show and participating in that giveaway. So thank you to iDevices again, and thanks to those listeners who enjoyed it. Coming up, I am so excited to be talking with Ashley Dano. She is a PR rep from Castor Communications who works directly with smart home companies. And she's going to be at CEDIA coming up. I know I've talked in the past about going to CEDIA. I'll be seeing her there. I'm really looking forward to talking with her about all the latest news and some of the stuff that's coming up. And just as a little sneak, we have some very exciting guests coming up this fall that I'll be very happy to announce as we get closer to those show dates.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, guys. I already know who they are, and I'm really, really excited. It's going to be good. All right, well, you can find all of our shows on iTunes, on Pocket Cast, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, pretty much everywhere you can find podcasts. So click the subscribe button. And if you like us, head on over to iTunes and leave us a rating or a review. That's the best way that you can help us out, and we really, really appreciate it if you can go and do that for us. And then come back and be a part of the show by chatting with us while we're recording it. You can do that usually Tuesday nights around 8:30 p.m. Eastern. We've got a live chat room. We live stream us recording this thing. There's always fun before, during, and after the show. And if you want to be reminded of when it happens, just follow us on Twitter, because it's not always those days and times, but typically. So just follow us on Twitter and then come and join us in the live chat room. That's going to do it, though, for episode 380. I'm Josh Pollard. He's Richard Gunther. And we'll be back next time for episode 381. Until then, adios.
Goodbye.